If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, you can find that in the Bible in the chair rack in front of you on page 892, or maybe you brought your own Bible with you as well, or maybe some kind of electronic gadget. However, I encourage you to follow along in the reading of God's Word today. The title of the message is Bread from Heaven. We had a wonderful Advent season, I believe, of looking at the names and the titles given to Jesus. Jesus, the name that is above every name. And just let me serve as a reminder to you, there's going to be a time in 2019 when you're at your wit's end, which is what the psalmist says, not necessarily for 2019, but we find ourselves at wit's end. And when you find yourself at wit's end in 2019, you utter the name of Jesus in reverence and in awe, and he is there. Know that for yourself. We saw his name of being Savior, the one who will save us from our sins. We saw him as being King. Pastor Bradley just mentioned we're going to get around the table of the King. We saw him as Emmanuel, God with us. We saw him as Shepherd, and he will shepherd his flock. And we saw him as the child, if you were here on Christmas Eve. Last week, Pastor Isaac Smith filled the pulpit as I was gone on vacation, and he talked about being sent. If you weren't able to be here last week, I encourage you to go to our website and listen to the message. I listened to the message as well, and what a great message it is to us, how well we are of fellowship and how well we are of getting together, and I'm glad you're here, but we've got to get outside the walls and we've got to share our faith. We've got to be willing to say, hey, God has done this in my life. I want to take you back a couple of weeks because we've been going through John, and in John, we've been in John chapter 6, and if you just want to look a page earlier, you will see that we were in John chapter 6, John fed the 5,000, and then we saw him walking on the water. And then he came and said these words, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now we find Jesus kind of continuing in that discourse, and he is talking about the bread from heaven. So what does it mean that Jesus is the bread of heaven? The bread from heaven. If you would join me, I'm going to read verses 41 to 51 of John chapter 6. So the Jews grumbled about him being Jesus, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I've come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God, that's being Jesus. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. If you happen to read on, you'll notice that next week's message is going to be kind of fun. If you don't happen to read on, just know that next week's message is going to be kind of fun. So I encourage you to be here next week. First thing I want you to see is this. Jesus was the bread that came from heaven. It's interesting. Jesus, though the question was not to him necessarily, he answered them. You see what's happening in this passage? They're like talking amongst themselves, and then Jesus enters into the question. He says, hey, let me answer this question. He had already answered this question, actually. He had already mentioned this in John 6:38. He had already said that I am the bread of life. And he had already said, I'm the one who's being sent. Luke records in 4:22, isn't this a son of Joseph? They were perplexed because they had seen Jesus grow up. This is the son of Joseph. How can you be the one from heaven? How can you be this person that thinks you're from heaven? I don't know if you've ever done that with someone. You knew them as a young kid, and you knew the things that they had that were kind of goofy about them, and then you have a hard time seeing them as an adult. You have a hard time getting yourself out of a different frame. Her name was Jeanette Brockway. You don't know Jeanette Brockway. I have no clue where Jeanette Brockway is to this day. But she was pegged in middle school because she couldn't see very well. She was pretty much blind. But she had Coke bottle glasses, if that makes sense, where her eyes, I mean, she just couldn't hardly see. And so I wonder where Jeanette Brockway is at today. We pegged her as a middle school group of being one that couldn't see. And I wonder what God's done in and through her life. There's another kid by the name of Chris Veneri. I know where he's at. Chris Veneri, I stay in touch with him every so often. He in middle school was the athlete. And so if you ever wanted somebody on your team, who'd you want to have? You wanted to have Chris Veneri. Why? Because he might make that shot. I could tell you of a game, summer league, where, you know, he brought us back and won. Wow. You want Chris Veneri on your team. I don't know if you want Chris Veneri on your team anymore. He's a nice guy, but he's a little bit heavier than I am. A lot heavier than I am now. He still might have a nice touch, but I don't know if he could get down the court very well. It's interesting how we peg people. Interesting how maybe you were pegged. Maybe you think back to somebody in middle school like, oh yeah, I wonder about that person. They're doing the same thing with Jesus. Isn't this the son of Joseph? Who can this be? And Jesus saying, I am from heaven. See, we know of the virgin birth. We know of the angels appearing to Joseph and to Mary. And I wonder how much they knew of these. And so we should be careful with condemning these Jews because they're like, well, how come they didn't know? I mean, seriously, they should know. Do you believe in Jesus and that he came from heaven? One commentator says it this way. His greatest message, meaning God's, came through a Galilean carpenter. And for that very reason, the Jews disregarded it. Think on this for just a moment. Things are supposed to come through the priesthood. This is important. A carpenter? Really? Now, some of you are carpenters, and I admire what you can do and the skills that you have. That's incredible. I have no idea how to do any of those. And a carpenter, really? God's going to come in the form of a carpenter? Why didn't he come like in a priest? Now, that would be something. Some believe in Jesus, and there is one thing to think of Jesus being born just like you and I, but then to think that he came from heaven is quite another. I want you to think about that for just a moment. We know that Jesus was born, but you have to grab a hold of the thought that he came from heaven. You didn't. You can have that discussion of where you were before you were born at your lunchtime if you want to, but you didn't. But Jesus came from heaven. The Jews had a hard time believing this because they knew of his upbringing and its idiosyncrasies that they saw, possibly. It's interesting to note, the Jews were arguing with one another. They weren't even asking Jesus. They were grumbling among themselves. Well, he says he's the bread. How does that work? And they were arguing among themselves, and Jesus just steps in, and he answers the question. They didn't even stop to think that maybe they should ask Jesus. Of course, they didn't see him as divine, of course. But maybe there's a lesson for us in this for just a moment. Have you had a recent debate or theological discussion with somebody over a passage? Aren't those fun? Isn't it fun having theological discussions? Now, what does Jesus mean? We're going to have one of those next week about the passage that's coming up. Now, what does it mean here exactly? And we get all, if I can use this word, we get all lathered up and we sweat a little bit and we... Sometimes those are really fun to do. Some of us really enjoy those. But maybe, just maybe, somewhere along the way, we should stop and ask for God's opinion and instruction in all of it. We get caught up in debates and, oh man, that pastor, what does God think? Instead of our well thought out decision, what does God think? And if we asked him, What about in your own personal life, just not theological discussion, but have you asked in recent days what God thinks about that thing you're going through? Have you had discussions and debates and, let me get down to a little more here, fun. Have you had a discussion, debate with your husband or wife in recent days and you come out on opposite sides and you hold your ground and you say, well, I'm gonna, aren't those fun times? If you're married, isn't God good? We hold our ground and we dig in and I'll tell you honestly, there are times when Manel and I'm of course wrong, but when Manel and I are having a discussion and when I get ired by that, and you know what I'll do? I'll get all the reasons why Manel's wrong, right? You better believe I will. And then I have to think, okay, but where am I wrong in this? Or where do I need to learn in this? Some of you aren't married, but you have a friend or you have some discussions and you're talking about it and you're not even talking to Jesus about it. Let me encourage you. Talk to Jesus about it. And then Jesus tells them this. Maybe you just need to underline this in your Bible. Verse 43, Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. The new year is upon us." Have you found yourself going from the joys of Christmas and the new year to already grumbling? Now, I'm not trying to point out any fingers, but maybe there's some grumblers here today. Let's make a change. I have several goals for this year. Let me share two of those with you. One of those is to smile. Some of you do a great job of smiling. Some of you need to work on that. Amen? And here's one of the reasons why we don't smile. Because life is stressful, is it not? If I ask some of the kids in the room, is life stressful? Yeah. Jonathan, life's stressful at times. And so we don't smile. We get the focused look. And so let me encourage you, smile. It's okay. I think you were encouraged last week to smile. It's all right. Not even a blank look. Don't just have a blank look. Make it an effort to smile. And another goal of mine is to tell of God's goodness to someone each day. There's much to grumble about. I figured that I'd give you some. No, I'm not going to give you some to grumble about. But let's praise God this year. Let me talk for just a moment to every child that's under the age of 20. So if you're a child under the age of 20, listen to me for just a moment. Find things not to grumble about. Quit grumbling about your parents. That's no good. Doesn't help. Actually causes more difficulties when you grumble with your parents. School's tough, I get it. Been there, done that. Switch your grumbling to praising. Now let me talk to every adult in the room. Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves." The Jews were grumbling about Jesus, and when we grumble in life, are we not grumbling about God? If you have a God worldview, biblical concept, if you're grumbling about life, you're grumbling about God. Because you're saying, God, this isn't good enough for me. Have I grumbled? Yes. Have you grumbled? Yes. And I would say that if you're grumbling, then you're not trusting God and having a good attitude. And I don't think they were trusting God and having a good attitude, these Jews, because how could this guy come from heaven? We don't understand. So would some of you right now agree with me, you don't have to raise your hand, not to grumble, that you would make a concerted effort not to grumble because the bread of life who gives you nourishment will get you through whatever. Now here's another challenge for you. If you wonder if you grumble or not, ask somebody over lunch. Am I a grumbler? Be ready for the answer. But maybe that's a good question to ask. Come ask me, I'll tell you. Last week, if you were here, you heard a story about a man by the name of Dave. And I listened to this message from Pastor Isaac after I had done my message. And Dave was a grumpy old man, if you remember that story. And Pastor Isaac said, "I was sent to that man." And Pastor Isaac said these words, or something like this: maybe we should have less whining and realize that I'm sent. And so I'll say, maybe we should stop grumbling and share some joy. By the way, hear this. Jesus hears all of your grumblings and your moanings. Oh, I wonder if he heard about that one. Yep, he did, because he's God. Number two, no one can come to God unless drawn by the Father. Jesus shifts the focus and utters this phrase: no one can come to the Father unless the Father who sent me draws him. It's interesting, in our me society, we think we do it, but this verse smacks in the face of us really doing anything. The Father draws us. Let me give you some scriptures. Romans 5:8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. He's talking to Israel there. Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And in John 12, verse 32, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. God is the one who does the drawing. And I hope you are encouraged by this. Even when you're down, when you're out of place, God draws you. God drew you here this morning. God continues to draw you each and every day. He draws you to his side. God is drawing your friend, your coworker, your neighbor, your spouse, your child, your family member as well. He may be even drawing someone to him through you. Hear these words from Mr. Chambers, Oswald Chambers. Every man is made to reach out beyond his grasp. It is God who draws me, and my relationship to him in the first place is a personal one, not an intellectual one. This new year, who are you allowing God to draw you to? Do you have someone that you are intentionally planting seeds of hope in? That doesn't necessarily mean you're giving them a tract. It doesn't necessarily mean you're showing them with the five Romans road of salvation. It may mean that. Have you invited someone to church lately? God draws us, and maybe he's drawing someone else through you to enter into his kingdom. Ask God whom he may be drawing through you. Is God still drawing us? I say, yes, he is. Some of you understand this all too well. You have a waylorn son or daughter or a grandson or a granddaughter or someone in your life that you want to try anything to get them back into the faith. You want them back, and so you struggle to reach them. You call out to them. And God, hear me in this, God says this from his word: no one can come to me unless the Father who sent draws him. And then he says, I am the one who draws them. And so whoever your son or daughter or grandson, God is continuing to draw them. I am thankful that God continues to love me. When God draws me, hear this quote from Mr. Chambers again. I have several from Mr. Chambers. When God draws me, the issue of my will comes in at once. I will react on the revelation which God gives. Will I come to him? Never discuss when God speaks. It's an interesting quote from Mr. Chambers. Hear it again. Never discuss with anyone when God speaks. Will I dump myself down absolutely on God and transact on what he says? If I will, I shall find I am based on reality that is as sure as God's throne. When God speaks to each of us, sometimes we immediately run to someone and say, you know what, this is what God said. Should I? What do you think? When God speaks to you, do it. A question that some of us ask, and I ask as well, when it says no one can come to me else, so the Father who sent and draws him, can people resist that drawing? I say yes. God does not make us love him. He wants us to love him in return. He continues to love. I think probably one of the best stories for us is the stories of the prodigal son. Many of you know the story of the prodigal son. The young man wanted to go sow and get everything he wanted. And so he went out and he sowed his oats. And then he found himself in the pig farm. He's like, I need to go back to my dad. And it doesn't take all that long for us to read that story. And finally he goes back to his dad. And where was his dad? His dad was waiting. His dad was waiting and he butchered the calf and he said, come on. We just read it in a couple of minutes. But I think of the agony that dad went through in all of those days. We don't know how long that was, what agony he went through, but what rejoicing happened and that he was waiting. Martin Luther said this, just as no one can go to heaven or hell for me, so no one can believe for me, so no one can open or close hell for me, and no one can drive me to believe or disbelieve. I am so thankful for a God who continues to draw me to him, and aren't you? Don't resist when God draws you in further. Number three, whoever believes has eternal life. When I read this, I'm just like, John, we've already read this. In John chapter 3, verse 16, whoever believes in me shall not perish but have eternal life. In John chapter 3, verse 36, he says it again. In John chapter 5, verse 24, he says it again. In John chapter 6, verse 40, he says it again. And here he says it again. And you're just like, are we not catching it? What is the deal here? I think it's a simple truth that we all need to hear. If we believe we have eternal life, it's simple, but I think... Excuse me. John is trying to beat it into our heads. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will have eternal life. Believe. The great preacher C.H. Spurgeon claimed that 98% of the people he met, 98%, including the criminals he visited in England's prisons, told him that they believed the Bible to be true. But the vast majority had never made a personal, life-changing commitment to Jesus Christ. For them, believe was not an active verb. Make your belief in God real this year. Believe and act on that belief. Let God work in your life. Be in church. Be patient. Be kind. Be joyful. Enjoy your life in Christ. Truly believe in him. Your belief in Almighty God must show action. You can't stay dormant in your Christian life. You just can't. So let me give you some action points, possibly. Say you believe, but do we? So I'm going to give you some action points. These aren't written down anywhere. If one sticks out to you, make it an action point for you. Because do you believe? Number one, does your spending, does your pocketbook show that you believe in God? When you get a paycheck, whenever you get Social Security, when you get whatever, do you say, you know, I should give to God at the top? Well, I can't do that, Pastor Steve. I have too many things going out. And I say, does your belief in God come to your pocketbook? Do you tithe? Number two, does your time in God's word show that you believe? If on this screen is the only time you ever see God's word throughout the week, do you really believe in God's word and how it's life to you? Are you in God's word every day? Some of you are, and you know what it does for you. Number three, does your patience with your neighbor show that you believe? Does your patience with your neighbor show you believe? Number four, does your love for your spouse or another family member show you believe in God? If I was to say, here's what's going to happen this year. Pastor Bradley is going to come to all of your homes, and what he's going to do is he's just going to spend 24 hours with you. You're not going to know he's there, so please don't worry about him being there. And he's just going to observe to see if the way you treat your wife is what you say that you believe in God. And the way that you've treated your husband. And the way that your kids interact. Do you have time to do that, Pastor Bradley? Does your love for your spouse or another family member show you believe in God? Would somebody else say, wow, the way he loves her. Whew, that's impressive. The way she loves him. Wow. Number five, do your business practices show you believe? That would be if you own a business, helping your employees. If you don't own a business, do you show up on time? Do you give a good day's work? Do you respect fellow employees? Number six, do your words show that you believe? Are you careful with what you say? According to Scripture, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that in helpful in building someone else up. The Bible also says, avoid coarse joking. Is your words showing that you believe? Number seven, do you accept others, not their sin, but do you accept others and lovingly show them Christ? Number eight, do you stand by the convictions in the Bible that show that you believe? Do you honor the Ten Commandments? Would it be one of those? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Let me stop there for just a moment. Don't say, oh my G-O-D. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. And if you say that you believe in God Almighty, don't say, oh my G-O-D. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. Number nine, do you live a life of purity, both in your mind or in your actions? 10, do you believe by sharing about Christ? Do you believe and you share about Christ? C.S. Lewis says these words, you never know how much you really believe and believe anything until the truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death to you. Number four, Jesus is the bread of life. Not manna, the manna came and went. Jesus does not. He is, and you might want to underline this in your Bible, he is living. In verse 51, I am the living bread. What are we being drawn to? We are being drawn to the bread of life. The bread of life that will provide nourishment for our restless and weary souls. I encourage you, trust in the one who came from heaven. May we stop our grumbling and draw near to him and trust in him. May you believe truly and may it show in our lives loudly. May you not resist his drawing and draw into a closer connection with him each day. He is the bread from heaven giving you spiritual life. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for each of you. Lord Jesus, your word has been spoken, and I pray that as we leave from this place and this day, that you would move us beyond where we're at. These people have come into your house today to say yes to you, and so I say they would say yes to you all this week and all this year. I pray, God, that you would be the bread of life to us and give us nourishment each day, and may we live out that belief because of you being in our hearts and our lives. God, help us to trust in you, and when you speak, may we do your will. Help us, God, not to grumble. Help us, God, to live out this life that you have given to us. And I pray for a protection as we walk out these doors, because the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but you've given us life, and you've given us health. And I pray that you would walk with us each day, each hour, each minute, each moment this week. May we be a shining example for you. We love you, and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
One voice in the dark that gives